welcome back to the AdVegers podcast. I'm Jordana.
I'm Aileen.
And
Sammy's out. We didn't plan that.
Yeah, Sammy is out. She's on her birthday trip. And it's Holly. It was her birthday yesterday. And it is
Holly
also.
Holly made sure to write that.
And it was. It's also Holly's birthday yesterday. Happy birthday to two of the AdVegers production team.
Yes, HBD. Yes. Sammy's in Italy.
Yes.
Having a great time. Although she said it rained on her birthday, but she was doing what she loved to do best, and that is nothing. Nice. So that's what she said.
I haven't seen much of content from there.
Good for her.
Yeah.
I mean, she's probably having a good time.
Maybe she's really in the moment.
She's probably shopping a lot in the moment.
Yeah. We're happy for her. I'm sure she's happy she's not doing the ads on her birthday. I'm doing them. Anyway.
Wait, O.J. Simpson is dead?
Yeah,
I didn't see that.
You must have been in meetings all morning. While you were in meetings, O.J. Simpson died.
No way.
Yes.
Guys, you're hearing me find this out in real time. Oh, my God. Oh, he had cancer.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Sorry, I'm reading this.
Dead at 76.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those weird situations where it's like, you don't want to really speak ill of the dead, but also like not a great guy overall.
Yeah, not a great guy. I mean, I guess.
I don't know what else there is to say.
His name is Orenthal? Did you know that?
I didn't know that.
I might have
heard that and then forgotten it.
I've never heard it. I just thought his name is OJ.
OJ was like the...
The name.
Interesting. No, I don't think that... I guess that is not the case.
That's not the case. Okay, OJ Simpson's dead. Okay, but we have not discussed the earthquake.
Yes, there's a few big things that have been happening.
Yeah.
The earthquake, the eclipse.
Yes.
O.J. Simpson?
Yes.
Okay, so let's start with...
The earthquake, where were you?
I was in my house.
Yeah.
And I didn't really feel it. I just thought like the garage door was opening.
Oh my God. Oh, so you have a loud garage door?
What? Well, I was like right next to the garage door.
Yeah.
Because I was in between meetings. I did a 10-minute arms class.
Okay.
And I was like a little off balance, I think. So maybe that was part of it.
You were just like going like this?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Okay. I was upstairs. My office is upstairs. Mm-hmm. And I was having a Zoom with one person that was in like Connecticut and one person was in Westchester. And on the second floor, like your house is more likely to feel it because it's not grounded.
Maybe that was another reason I didn't feel it. Yeah.
So all of a sudden I feel something like I hear like there's a stampede downstairs. That's what it feels like. Somebody's stampeding.
Really?
I'm like, is that like the Terminator? Like, because we're supposed to have a Terminator appointment. Terminator?
Terminator is like, like Arnold Schwarzenegger.
The guy who does
like Terminix.
Yeah.
Terminix, like the.
Yeah, like you have to do a yearly service to make sure whatever.
Yeah.
Exterminator. The Terminator.
Yeah.
I've been calling him the Terminator.
Well, Terminix is a company that's like,
yes, I had them.
It's an exterminator company that sounds like Terminator.
That's it. Yeah. Okay, so, and termites is the word. Okay. So anyway, so it sounded like it was so loud and rumbling. Like, what the fuck's going on? And then all of a sudden the house just starts shaking. Like, I'm like, what the hell? And I see the girl, the people I'm speaking to, their shit is shaking. And they're like, we all three are like, are you feeling this? And then all of a sudden it came. I'm like, if all three of us are feeling this and we're in different spots, something fucking bad is happening.
You freak out?
Of course.
That's so funny. But I had like the complete opposite experience.
Okay, I know, because our chat was all like, ha ha, earthquake. And I was like, I thought I was about to die, but okay. So I wasn't panicking in the moment. Like, I just ran downstairs to check on Lucas. And my nanny, was holding him and like, thank God he's in his crib.
Okay.
But the house was fucking shaking. And maybe because my house is older or something, but not older than your house.
Well, it's funny because Mike was on the other side of the house.
Yeah. On the other wing.
The other side. He was like, I was on one side. He was on the other side. And so I was doing my arms.
Yeah.
And he like opens the door. I hate when he goes in there
while
I'm in a workout. So he opens the door and I'm like moving my arms and he's like, and I'm like, yes. And he's like, did you feel that? Like, was that like an earthquake? I'm like, no, can you get out? Like, can we talk about this in 5 minutes?
Yeah.
And so he left. He was like, and then I was like, oh, that, he was so like being annoying. And then it finished. And then he's like, showing me all the tweets about how it's
like
an earthquake. And I'm
earthquake
like, oh, I guess
7,
you were right. I didn't really feel it.
I was so shocked.
I felt the aftershock.
Yeah.
But I was on the other side of my house during the aftershock.
Yeah,
so I felt like maybe it's Maybe there's like an older part and a newer
crazy.
Part.
Yeah. I once felt an earthquake, but it was so slight. Like I was much younger. I was in Jones Beach laying on the ground and I felt it. But it was so tiny. This one, my house was shaking. My Zoom screen was shaking. Yeah. And I was like, I couldn't believe it. I was like, oh my God, Mila. And then their school texted, everybody's fine. And then all of a sudden the chat is just, all my text messages are like, oh, that was, oh, ha ha, like earthquake.
Oh yeah.
I like thought the one it was a bomb.
I like the one with the lawn chairs.
Yeah, that
like,
was really funny. Well, we will rebuild. Yeah.
That was great. Yeah, I was kind of like, I guess this is very representative of our personalities I have dulled senses also.
Yeah, yes,
so
very dull. Like,
someone's opened the garage door, I guess. Yeah, and then they're going to close it.
If things didn't really shake too much, I would understand that. Like the rumbling, I was like, it must be the exterminator.
Right. But it's funny because Mike didn't feel the second one. Again, he was on the other side of the house.
Yeah. Anyway, crazy. Yeah.
How was your solar eclipse? Are you an eclipse head?
No, I really didn't understand. I mean, like, I get it, but like, I really didn't get it. I didn't get the glasses. I was working. I like didn't have time for the moon's bullshit.
I didn't have time either. Like, I also think like, I was saying this to Jared too on yesterday's show, in case you hear this conversation repeated. I kind of feel like unless you're in one of those places like Texas or Mexico where like the whole sky
you
is black.
Totality. Yes.
Right. I'm like, I don't like, you're looking at it through the glasses and then it just like, I see all these pictures on Instagram. It's like circles in the sky. It like looks like a moon. I'm like, okay.
Yeah. Like cool.
Right.
Yeah. I didn't feel so excited about the eclipse. I didn't really get my family excited about the eclipse.
You guys weren't with the glasses.
I honestly forgot about it. And I was just kept wanting to look outside. I was like, maybe I shouldn't. It got like a little dark. Like, it just looked overcast.
Right. It looked like it was cloudy for like a minute.
And then it stopped. Yeah, I guess, are we like eclipse Grinches?
I guess. I don't know. I just think it's like, I don't know if we're...
There's a lot for the world. Like, the earthquake was enough of a reminder, like, that we're not in control. Like, I didn't need then the eclipse.
It was too many natural occurrences
too
for you.
Too much nature threatening our livelihood. Like... The eclipse was cool because you're reminded that, you know, we're part of a galaxy, the universe, all of that.
Right.
We're a planet.
We're all just floating
but
on
the
a rock.
Earthquake really reminded you that like you really have nature is number one.
Right. And nothing really matters.
Yeah. Nothing really
we're all
matters.
Just on
well,
the
no,
spot.
Everything matters, but shit. Like it was an earthquake. I did think it was a nuke.
Of course you did.
Like because, oh my God, because I was...
What's your conspiracy? That you're a big conspiracy. I feel like we should have a segment called Aileen's Conspiracy Theory.
But I'm not like a moron conspiracist.
No, it's not a moron.
No, like Craig from Southern Charm.
You're just a little paranoid.
Just not paranoid. There is a heightened threat.
Aware.
There is a heightened threat sorry guys, this is not the podcast for it, but of an attack from the Middle East here. They just released it.
Right, but you don't believe that that's what this was, right?
No. When it was happening, I was like, oh my God, if this is happening in three places, something bad is about to happen. And my first thought is war. My second thought is Earth.
Okay.
But then I quickly ran downstairs and it stopped. So I was like, oh, it must have been.
Okay, now you don't believe any of this.
No, I never thought, past that second.
Just the second.
Yeah, in that second when I didn't know what it was, that's what I thought it was. And then I texted whatever our group and then Alexa goes, of course you did.
Do you have an emergency bunker?
No, but I want to get one. I was
all
going
right,
to
so
sleep.
I'll go to your house if there's like an apocalypse.
I'm not going to tell anyone that I have a bunker.
Well, you just mentioned it.
I won't tell you where it is.
Are you not going to invite me in?
We'll see. I might.
Only enough supplies.
But I don't
for
trust
the,
you that you won't
family.
Tell other people.
If you say, please don't tell anyone about the bunker.
You're
going to
tell everybody
anyone.
That I have a bunker, and then
and
all
then everyone's
the
going to be
gonna,
online.
Yeah, like everyone on Reddit is going to be like, Aileen has a bunker. Got to go to her house. This is her house.
I mean,
I was going to bed like two nights ago.
If I promise not to tell anyone, can I come in the bunker if the world ends?
Yes, yes, yes. If you can make
what
it
do you
to
have
my house,
I feel like
time.
You have like VR and shit.
No, no, we're gonna. It's gonna be a survival bunker. Bunkers are expensive.
How much? I love that you know that because it means you looked it up. How much are they?
Actually, the app Instagram was serving me content about.
Of course.
I never
it was.
Googled it I mean, until I saw this
it knows
video
what you're thinking.
Of bunkers being installed in the ground. And
how much?
Millions.
Really?
Maybe like $1 million.
Well, you want like a good one, I guess.
Yeah, I really
you
want a good bunker.
You don't want like a little closet underneath the ground.
No, you don't want a panic room. You need a bunker that's going to survive radiation and nuclear attack.
Of course.
Why else do you need a bunker?
I don't know. Just like a room in case there's like an earthquake or a tornado and then you can just go down and then come back up.
No, that's a shelter.
Okay.
Like I want a bunker.
You want like an underground complex.
Small apartment. I wouldn't say complex. Like I'm not like
Rebecca, you know where to go now.
I'm not. Right. Okay. Yeah. I guess now everybody knows. But no, obviously I'm not going to have this. But in my dream world, like this is what I would invest in rather than like a second property.
Do you remember in 6 Feet Under? do you remember in 6 Feet Under? Like I don't know if anyone watched this as intensely as you and I, yeah. But you remember Ruth's husband, George?
Yeah.
Like goes crazy and he's building the bunker yeah. and he wants to live in the bunker.
Yeah.
And then they have to give him a lobotomy.
Please don't give me a lobotomy. Okay.
We'll see how you are in a few episodes.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
No more natural occurrences.
No, but it was so funny. 2 nights ago, I was like, you know, when you're falling asleep, but you kind of want to go to your phone, but you like have to go to sleep.
Sometimes you have the self-control to be like, no.
Yes.
Like we know this is a bad idea.
So I said to Rusty, I'm like, I'm doing everything in my power right now to not Google prices of bunkers. And he's
out
like,
of nowhere?
You can do it.
After the earthquake.
It was like a day or two after the earthquake.
Okay. Well.
But yeah, that's what I invest in. And I've been told that it's a good investment by people.
Who needs a summer home?
Yeah. No, literally. When you could go underground with beans and water. Anyway.
You know, it's an insurance policy.
Did you watch?
I bet you Mark Zuckerberg has a bunker.
No. That's what I mean. That's a complex. He's building one. In Hawaii.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why in Hawaii? I feel like if it's underground, who cares where it is? That's like expensive to live there. I guess he doesn't care.
The island nature of it.
But he's not, you're underground.
Less, I don't know, tunnels. I don't know.
I would go to like the Midwest.
The weather is so nice. Maybe.
But you're not going to be outside. Maybe, that's the whole point.
Maybe it's self-sufficient land.
Again, you're underground.
You have to come out eventually.
Right, but who knows what you'll find.
Right? I would go to Mark's bunker for sure.
I mean, of course, it's probably nicer than like any of our homes. Like regular homes, the bunker is probably incredible.
Oh, so nice. Anyway.
One day, maybe you'll get your bunker.
Yeah, one day. It's my dream bunker. Betches love this bunker. I've been saying this for 10 years.
Betches love this bunker, you know.
If you have an infant or toddler, you know they grow so fast. It's like you blink and they're a new size. But I found an easy fix with Posh Peanut. Made from viscose from bamboo, their clothes are 4 times stretchier than cotton, stretching with your kids as they grow. They're made to last, loved by parents, and approved by kids. I'm personally obsessed with what they have for toddlers. I found Mila the cutest little tutu dress. I don't know if she's into tutus just yet, but I bought one in hopes that she's gonna like love this and put it on. They have like really cute little tank tops with these like beautiful little frills, and it's so soft and just the best material. Posh Peanut makes thoughtfully crafted, beautiful, and stylish clothing for kids and families, designed in-house from beautiful florals to your kids' favorite brands like Hot Wheels, Hello Kitty, and Barbie. Their pieces are made with ridiculously soft viscose from bamboo that stays soft even after multiple washes. And don't worry about shrinking. Their high quality fabric is 4 times stretchier than cotton, so it grows with your child and stays wearable for longer. It's also breathable and chemical free, which means they're delicate on your baby's sensitive skin. Posh Peanut is made for infants and kids, but they also have sizing for moms and dads if you want to get the whole family to match. And if you're not a parent, consider this the perfect gift idea for any little one in your life. Right now, Posh Peanut is offering our listeners 20% off your first order with promo code Betches. Go to poshpeanut.com/betches and use promo code Betches for 20% off your first order. That's poshpeanut.com/betches, promo code Betches.
For years, I've been using men's razors because the quality of razors for women is seriously questionable. But disposable men's razors feel like settling. I finally tried the Athena Club razor I've been seeing online, and it was truly the easiest, smoothest shave ever. My old razors, honestly, they would rust up so quickly, and the shave I would get was so dull. My legs would get super dry. It would just be like an uncomfortable razor experience. But this razor is truly worth the hype. If you haven't tried it, you really need to give it a shot. Step up your shaving game now with Athena Club's award-winning razor kit. It's seriously the best on the market, and here's why. First of all, the Athena Club razor kit is an absolute steal at just $10. But don't let the price fool you. This razor packs a serious punch. It comes with a beautifully made ergonomic handle and two super sharp razor heads that deliver an incredibly smooth shave every time. You also get a game-changing magnetic hook in the razor kit for easy storage. This means no sitting your razor on the edge of your tub, no more goopy blades, no more razor falling down your shower floor in the middle of the night. Athena Club's razor glides effortlessly thanks to those five precision-engineered blades. The blades are perfectly spaced out to let your hair pass through with each stroke, and you'll experience less irritation, which is always a win in my book. Are you ready to upgrade your shaving experience? Switch to the best razor on the market and show your skin you care with Athena Club. Head over to athenaclub.com to try their award-winning razor and body products and get 20% off your purchase with code BETCHES at checkout. You can also find Athena Club razors at your local Target store. Trust me, you won't look back. Happy shaving.
Did you watch Curb?
I did. I thought the season as a whole was very underwhelming. Uh-huh. The last episode was, I enjoyed.
Very funny.
Yeah. But the season overall, I was like,
it was a setup season.
It's not that funny.
It was okay. There were some episodes that were very funny.
A couple, but like most of them were like, I just felt like the earlier seasons were better.
Yeah, there were some moments though. When you realize that though, it's a lot of it is just improv.
Right.
And like, when you realize like Tracy Ullman, you know, who plays his girlfriend. Who is she?
I looked this up and then I forgot
she's
it.
She's so fucking funny.
What's she in?
A lot of things. She's very famous.
Oh yeah, she's like super rich. I Googled her.
Yeah, yeah. Like, most importantly, she's super rich.
No, I remember she like has I Googled her and it came up that she was like super rich. And I was like, so random. She's not, I've never even heard of her.
She's so.
But she's had a big show.
If you realize that like she is doing a lot of improv in that and she's so funny, like that's when I just like really appreciate the show for what it is. Like even Susie Green, like a lot of those
Susie
lines
great.
Are yeah. just improv. Her fashion is just absurd. All of it. And Leon it was all very good. The cameos were really good.
Yeah. No, it was great. Great finale. Good way to go out. Some people like, it was like the Seinfeld one, right? It was like supposed to be.
Yeah, that was the point
like
with Jerry. Right. Yeah. What did you, so in the end when he's like, we should have ended it this way. Were they making fun of the audience being like, all right, we knew the different ways to, we ended it like that on purpose. Or were they saying like, shit, we really should have ended it this way?
I think they were just making like a comment on the fact that it ended that way. Like, do you know what I mean?
Well, no, because in this one, he goes to jail the same way. They did the same courtroom with all the previous characters.
I think they were making a comment on like the fact that people were upset about the last way that it ended. I don't know if they were saying that they should have done it or they shouldn't have done it. Or did you feel like they were making it?
Well, that's why I couldn't figure out if they were like sort of trolling us in the sense that they were just saying the things that they thought that we were saying. Like everybody's like, oh, you know, everybody's watching this and they're going to say, oh, you should have ended Seinfeld that way.
I like that they had the girl on from like
the child.
Yeah, the child. Yeah. Like the former child. I was like, how old is this show? So funny.
So good. Also the flashbacks to all of the the best
That's what I'm
moments.
Saying. Those were like, I feel like they were the flashbacks. Like those were the really good episodes.
Well, because they were, I mean, over what? How many 20 seasons? 20 years ago? 12 seasons.
Yeah.
They were like five insanely good moments.
Yeah.
Ugh, I wish they brought back Survivor, though. That was a really, really
That was
good
a great episode. Even the one from, like, not that many years ago with the kid who
They
like,
did bring that back.
Did he?
There was a Hidla. There was a really good
did I miss that
flashback
one?
To that, I think.
Maybe I missed it.
Sometimes it goes like this and this.
That kid was incredible.
Oh, such a good show.
It is a good
also,
show.
Also, Jerry, what I also loved is that scene when they were at that like restaurant. It was just Jerry and Larry.
Yeah.
And they were just talking.
It felt like that would be like
how
they would
how
be
they
choking,
wrote
talking.
The yeah. shows.
Right.
And like they did that on purpose for us to see it. And it was just, I kind of loved it.
Yeah.
I just love the creative process.
Maybe the two of them will make another show together again.
I can't see that.
I can. I feel like here's the thing. I think that they're kind of just like rich and bored.
Yeah.
And I could see them doing it just because like, there's stakes are low and any someone would buy it and they could just have a good time.
Maybe. I would love to watch that.
Yeah.
Like another Seinfeld. Although Jerry's coming out with a new show. Like it's about Pop-Tarts.
Oh,
like
I didn't even see
mockumentary
that.
Mockumentary on Netflix.
About Pop-Tarts?
Yeah.
I did not see that.
It's about Pop-Tarts. It's going to be on Netflix. It's a mockumentary, I think, movie. Okay. So it's like about Pop the creation of Pop-Tarts, and it was like this breakfast miracle or something, like innovation, but it's obviously not. It's so unhealthy. It's not like
people
breakfast.
Still eating Pop-Tarts?
I don't think so.
I haven't like seen a Pop-Tart
in a while.
But I also guess like if I'm not buying them, I'm not like eating breakfast with people frequently.
Yeah, right.
Right.
You don't eat breakfast either, do you? You had a smoothie.
I'll have breakfast. I like breakfast on vacation.
Yeah. Okay. Like, I really
at a hotel buffet.
Yeah. Yes.
You know,
very specific circumstances for your breakfast.
What about you? I like brunch. I'm really into pancakes these days.
That's so good for you. What's your favorite flavor?
Like bad for me, but good for
me. What's your favorite flavor?
I like plain, but I like it.
Of course you do.
I like it. Just regular pancakes, but I kind of just really like them as a mechanism to put the maple syrup on.
That's like, definite.
I use like my maple syrup to pancake ratio is like is a little alarming
what
for
is
a lot
it?
Of people.
What would you say it was?
It's like mostly
10 to 1. Is it drowning?
Like it's like every pancake piece gets like a dip.
A dip or a douse?
Like a dip with like halfway in gets the dip.
Oh, that's not so bad.
You know.
Do you put butter on it?
It doesn't need butter. Just pancakes and maple syrup. I prefer it to waffles. Although
waffles are like a little dry in my opinion. I love a chocolate chip pancake. A little bit of syrup. Yeah, I think that I prefer the sweetness of chocolate than the sweetness
and
of syrup.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yeah,
I'd rather have like a chocolate chip muffin than a chocolate chip pancake.
The top of the muffin for sure. Yeah, for sure. Well, it depends on the mood.
It's kind of the same thing, right?
Maybe
muffin, chocolate chip muffin top, and chocolate chip pancake.
That was also funny from Curb when like latte. With
I don't
the
like
spice
Mexican
store.
Food.
Oh yeah, that was so that was funny. Pretty funny. That was so funny. Yeah, that was really good. Yeah. It's so weird that Cheryl is the husband of RFK Jr. who's running for president.
I know. It's awkward.
Like so weird. And she like stood up and like spoke for him.
Yeah, I know.
Recently. Awkward.
There's a weirdness in it.
Larry introduced them. Did you read
that? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
The best episode from the last season, I think, was where he like doesn't want anyone to talk to him. So he goes around wearing the MAGA hat.
Yeah. So true.
That was really funny.
Yeah, he has some great moments.
On to some worse shows.
Yeah.
Have you been watching Somewhere Else?
So good, though. Not worse.
Like worse. Different.
Not
worse,
prestige.
Yes.
Reality.
Non-prestige. Non-HBO shows.
But very, very good. This season has an epic cast. The boys have sort of evened out the playing field.
They've learned to not bring in less women and try to even it out a little
They're also good. They're good, kind of more entertaining guys.
I think that's been their issue is they just haven't had many guys who were interesting.
Who are fun and funny.
Right. And who any of them would date.
Yes.
The other
That's been the problem. Yeah. But yeah, it's been good. I think the mid-season trailer looks amazing. With the Carlin Lindsay,
here's the thing. I am really just watching to watch Carl. I mean, this is fucked up, but I'm watching to watch what happens.
I mean, that's why everybody watched Vanderpump the other season ago.
Right. I need to find
really
out.
Really good couples, though. Like even Paige and I love Paige and Craig, like watching them and like what's going to happen. I love their relationship. I love Paige's perspective, although I think she's
a little judgmental.
No, perspective on her and Craig.
Oh, I don't think she's that. I don't think they're that into each other. I think to me that's
he's
the perspective.
So into her.
And he's trying to pretend that he's not. I don't think she's that into him. Maybe that's the
I think she's trying. Thing. She's more into her, like, I think she wants to establish her career before she, like, goes to Charleston. Because I feel like once she goes to Charleston, she's pigeonholed in his career. That's what I think. Otherwise, unless they have a spinoff show, which they should.
I think she kind of, I've said this before, but I think she thinks she could do better.
Right.
And so she likes him. She likes him.
He's really adorable.
But I think she, I think Kristen Cavallari is her idol. And I think she, would want to be with someone a little bit
she
less
wants
of
to
a
get
reality,
out of the,
of the reality
world.
Scene and into I think I could see her trying to date an athlete or an actor or something like that.
I think the Bravo world can get them both very far though, because they are beloved Bravo stars more so than Housewives these days. Summer House is really killing it, and Southern Charm I fucking love. I think that they could keep going further. So I don't think she's gonna and plus he's so good looking. He's just a weird conspiracy theorist.
I don't like his vibe, actually.
So cute. Much.
I don't like his mannerisms. I don't like them.
He's just is a little weird.
Yeah, but I don't even mind people who are weird. I just think there's something I don't know. I'm not a huge Craig fan. I don't like dislike him, but I'm not like, I'm not like,
oh, he's an attractive man.
Yeah.
What do you think about Kyle and Amanda? Amanda was in our office yesterday, so won't be, we'll say what we want. what do you think of them?
I mean, whatever they're doing, I guess works for them.
I don't think it does. Do you?
I think they keep moving forward in their relationship. So something is working, even though it's like dysfunctional.
Yeah. I can't tell if it's for TV or if really.
Right. I can't tell if they need a storyline. So they just keep playing up their fights or if they actually don't really like each other.
Because there's a preview for, I think there was a new episode last night or something where Kyle says like, I feel very lonely when I'm with you. I'm like a very social person. I feel very lonely when I'm with you. And that like really like cut to my core. I was like, that is really sad. Like, and she, I'm watching her. She just loves being in bed. She loves just being a homebody. She wants to settle down. And she said it in the last episode, like she just thought that Kyle at 40 something would have been settled. That's why she chose an older man. And like, it's not happening.
I don't know if that's why she chose an older man, because Kyle was fucking around with her from the beginning of her dating.
She thought that would be the plus, a plus.
Right.
But they don't seem to be coming together in that way. Like, it's so, I wonder if it's, they're going to make it. I'd love for them to make it. But I just like wonder that if that is real, those fundamental differences are real, or are they kind of played up for the show?
Right. I think there's it's probably both.
Yeah.
They're probably real, but maybe they're not as intense as they make them out to be. But I'm sure there are things. I mean, when she got pissed off that he said the thing about Jesse hitting on Paige, I kind of felt like that was real.
Yeah, but like, she picks on him a lot in public, I feel like.
Yeah, but he's also like embarrassing. So I get it. Why doesn't he wear his hair normally anymore?
She hates the mullet.
It's like, it's time to go. I can understand like a COVID funny thing.
He likes
it. It's been like years.
She hates it and he loves it. The other thing, and last thing, we can move on from this, but you could tell when she's forcing like a smile for when he's drunk and she's like trying to be like into it. She's like, yeah, haha, you're so cute. And like puts his hat on him, but she fucking hates it. Like I could tell.
Right.
There's no way she's down for this or attracted to this very drunk man.
Yeah.
0% see her. Huge ick.
It's also just like, to me, it doesn't make sense that they would work together because like,
she wants a farm.
I think maybe if they didn't work together, their relationship would be better.
Yeah. Well, that's what I think that's what we saw in the midseason thing. She's like, I want something for myself. And he's like, I'm not working for fun here. I'm working for our future.
Right. He shouldn't have made her quit the job. Like he should have just hired a different graphic designer and he could be the person with the business. Yeah. And she could be like the other person. This all doesn't really make any sense. Why?
Yeah, so that's why I can't tell if it's real or not. But anyway, it's one of the better shows on Bravo right now.
Here's what they should do is she should not be the designer and she should just be an influencer. And their relationship would probably be better.
Yeah.
Like, she doesn't need to.
He's going to be like, where are my deliverables this week? Right.
Around the office, we have so many colorful framed art prints and photos. It creates such a fun atmosphere and it gives our space that unique Betches character. I wanted to frame some stuff at home too, but custom framing can be so difficult and so expensive. So the things I want to display end up collecting dust in a closet. But FrameBridge makes it easy and affordable to get your special artwork and memories in frames so you can spice up your space with ease. I love FrameBridge. I framed my ketubah for my wedding. The process was unbelievably easy. They send you a canister to send in your artwork. They send you a few different options of ways that they can frame it. You get to pick. They're actually helping me also design the frame that works best with the picture and best for my home. And getting custom frames can be difficult. FrameBridge is easy and affordable to custom frame just about anything. You can easily order online at framebridge.com or visit a retail store if you need some guidance. You can also upload a digital photo for them to print or mail your item in using their free, secure, prepaid packaging. Then FrameBridge custom frames your piece in the studio using the highest quality materials and ships it to your door in days for free. See why FrameBridge has been trusted to frame over 2 million pieces. Visit framebridge.com or a local FrameBridge store to get started and custom frame just about anything. That's framebridge.com.
50 high school senior girls descend on Mobile, Alabama every summer to compete for a massive cash prize. It isn't Survivor. It's one of America's most lucrative scholarship competition for teen girls. It's been around for 7 decades. Now you'll hear what took place behind the scenes. From Pineapple Street Studios in Wondery comes The Competition. Host Shima Oliai was Nevada's contestant nearly 20 years ago. Now she's returning as a judge to find out what 2 weeks with 50 of the country's most ambitious teens can tell us about girlhood in America. What happens when the competitors are thrown into the deep end with the best and the brightest? And how does surviving the competition prepare them for everything that comes after? Follow The Competition on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can binge all episodes of The Competition early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus. All right, did you watch the Brandy Melville doc?
I haven't finished it, but I watched like more than half of it.
What do you think so far? People are talking about it.
It's interesting because in the beginning, almost like Hot Quiet on Set, where it starts off where I'm like, this doesn't seem that bad. Like, you know, a couple comments here and there, like what workplace doesn't have its issues. And that kind of felt like that in the beginning of this documentary too, where it was like kind of like, oh, they're fast fashion. They're not size inclusive. I was like, that kind of seems like a lot of companies. They're like, why is
brand? I mean, they're not. I mean, they're just one size. So
one
very-
size, right? Well, it's like one size fits all, but the size is extremely small.
Yeah.
So like the reporter who was writing about this was like, she's like, everything that I've seen and heard about Gen Z seems like this isn't something that they would stand for.
Right.
And yet they're like obsessed with this brand.
Mm-hmm.
So that was like the interesting part of it, because like it didn't seem like the way they were describing the beginning sounded a lot like the Abercrombie documentary, except for just for women.
Yeah.
Nothing targeted really towards men. And I was like, all right, I don't really understand why like H&M isn't part of this discussion if we're talking about fast fashion and sending all of the like clothes to Africa that no one wants. There was a very funny line in the documentary where they were like, in Ghana, they call like the drop shipments of all these like clothes, like, and they said like this African word that I'm not even going to try to pretend like I know how to say.
Yeah.
And then they were like, and that translates to like dead white man's clothes.
God, that's funny.
It was like
dark.
Very much. They were just like, it's fucked up because they were saying that they just like are forced to take these shipments of like extremely low quality clothes that they don't really want or
that's
need.
Not their
but
style.
Like, but the US and Europe won't, and the EU won't like, will like, won't let them have tax, like the tax incentives only come if they take all this shit.
Right.
That no one there even really wants. They have too many clothes. I don't know. They were basically like, it's just like weight. It's like clothing weight. And people think they're like helping by donating, but it's like actually going there and like no one.
Creating more waste.
Yeah, it's just extremely wasteful. But I was kind of, again, I was kind of like, I don't understand why Brandy Melville is like different than any other company that does this. There's so many companies that do this. That was my feeling in the beginning. And then you get further into the documentary, and this is kind of like Quiet on Set, where it gets like, then they start like talking about more fucked up stuff. And then they're talking about like all the like the like racist stuff. They had like these racist group chats among like the executives, where they were sending all these like fucked up like sexual jokes and racist jokes. And they were saying like the founder just like didn't want black people wearing his clothes. He's like this Italian guy. He didn't want
Abercrombie. Yeah.
Basically, right. And like he wanted like white, very thin redheads. That was his ideal, I guess, because he had red hair.
Yeah. That's a weird fetish.
That was his like ideal, but you had to be like, and oh, but one thing, well, it's interesting because they were kind of painting this as a negative, and I thought it was kind of an interesting way to go about things.
Yeah.
Was they were saying, basically, like they had no like product development team. They were, and one of the guys who like owned one of the stores was like, yeah, like it seems weird to have a product development team, but like a 40-year-old man trying to figure out what like 16-year-old girls want to wear.
Right.
Instead, they would like find random girls who would like come into the store or work at the store and be like, what are you wearing?
Yeah.
And then
they would make that.
And then they would find it, they would order it.
Yeah.
And then they would make like, 200 of them, see how it's sold in their flagship store, and then make a bunch of them. So they had no like product development team.
That's interesting.
They were painting this as negative, and I was like, that kind of
seems innovative.
They're like asking, right? They're asking. I mean, that part
it's
of
like
it.
A copy. Like if you're talking, like if the bar is set very low.
Well, they're like, they're not paying those girls who they're doing that for.
They're doing market research on their own customers.
With the girls who like work, they're like we just they were basically
and
like we looked
employees.
We just looked at random like high school girls and saw what they were wearing and then asked them to show us what they were wearing. And then that's how we
bought it and copied it.
But I mean, it worked for them. They were making like a shit ton of money.
And obviously doing the one size is what probably saved them a lot of money. Because they don't have, there's less waste because.
Well, there's less like SKUs.
Exactly.
So yeah. And then, but then they would take like certain of their like influencers and they would send them to China and Italy. And so they would look through like the factories and say like, I would wear this and I wouldn't wear that. So there was no like product development team. It was just them. And then it starts getting, and I was like, again, they're painting this as negative. I'm like, that seems like kind of innovative, especially if they had compensated the women, that would have made more sense to me, but it didn't seem that messed up.
Okay.
And then they start getting into like, obviously there's like, you know, discriminatory things. Like they would make like the girls who were minorities, like they were working at the register, and then they had like the white girls who were like greeting customers. But it was very funny because they were saying that they only hired girls that they thought were like hot and like thin, but they were like terrible at their jobs. So there were all these like TikToks and like social media things about how like Brandy Melville employees just like could not give a fuck about anything. Like they would
I really remember that.
They would like make all these jokes like, oh, like we, you know, if you could take this off the hanger before you bring it to the register, like it's just a lot more work for us. Or like,
no, I kind of remember that.
I remember them being like extremely unhelpful.
The shopping experience was not necessarily like that fun.
Right. It was not a culture of like.
And the store was organized like a mess.
Right. Because no one who worked there had any experience or
do anything. But it was kind of like LF. Remember? It was just like that was the appeal. Not the appeal, but that was the store. It was just piles of clothes. You're cool.
It's kind of like just like. It's like a very like we're exclusive and like we don't give a shit about you. Like you could buy it or you could not.
Literally, we don't give a shit about you because there's one size.
Right. And I mean, like their stuff is soft, but it like was soft, very but cheap.
Yeah.
That's what they were saying. Like the sales girls were saying, like when you would put the tag in something, it would like break.
Oh, my God.
Because it was but so flimsy.
I remember it being like very soft. But then when you wash it, it was just absolutely just
made for nothing.
Yeah.
But yeah. And so basically they were saying that, like, weirdly, though, their Instagram was run by, like, a 40-year-old man. But they never, like, said that, obviously.
Yeah.
But then he would, like, it was, like, a big thing about social media and...
He was DMing people?
No, he was DMing people, like, from the account being, like, can I post this picture that you took of, like, the clothes? But he never, like, signed a name. So they'd be like, yeah, this photographer was like, yeah, we'd get, like, this email from... this guy and there from the Brandy Melville address, but there was like no sign off. There was no like, it was just like, can I use this picture? And then because they weren't like trying to say who it was, but it was actually like a 40-year-old man like DMing all these like young girls for their pictures in these like tiny little clothes, which was
so
weird.
Creepy.
But then the really fucked up thing, and again, I haven't finished it yet, is these executive chats that are like filled with like racist, like misogynistic, disgusting jokes, a lot of them from the founder. Weirdly, like the founder's obsession with like libertarianism and like Ayn Rand. Is that how you say it? Ayn Rand?
Yeah. What does that have to do with brand, like the brand?
That he would like, he would talk shit about, because I guess it was, Brandy Melville is like a made up name.
Yeah.
That like is about like these two, it's like two different names. Brandy is the girl and Melville is the guy. And they have like a love story in Italy. That's like kind of how they made up this name.
Okay.
But then there's this
Melville. It's just like a town on Long Island.
Yeah. It's very weird.
Yeah.
It didn't really make any sense, but it was supposed to, and then it was supposed to be like this cool girl. And then it sort of morphed into like this like California.
Right.
Beachy, like, I surfer girl.
I didn't realize Gen Z was wearing Brandy Melville.
Neither did I.
I thought it was closed down. I thought it was, like, millennial, younger, 20s, our 20s.
Well, it was funny because I was texting Ariel, our friend.
You guys loved Brandy Melville.
Who was, like, my old roommate.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm watching this Brandy Melville documentary. It's very funny because the girls are like, this was, like, the coolest. They launched in 2009, so we were already in college when they launched. And they were like... I was texting her because they were like, these girls were like, it was the coolest brand in middle school. And I'm like, I'm pretty sure you and I were wearing this at like 25, 20s. Like 27.
We were. Ariel, I remember, had like four different black crop tops.
Yeah.
They had a lot
of crop tops from there. I mean, they were extremely comfortable in their, again, defense. But and she was like, yeah, I saw them. I was like at the store the other day and there was a line like around the corner. Oh. So like it's apparently still doing. I haven't worn it in a bit. So I'm like,
it's now really big on TikTok with the Gen Z girls. Right. But it's not. But I didn't realize that. I thought it shut down because they closed so many of their stores and I didn't realize they made that transition.
Like, I didn't realize that either.
To audiences. Yeah.
So then, so there was like the really fucked up thing was like the group chat. And again, there's probably more. I haven't finished. But here's the things that I've seen. The group chat. And then, okay, they would make all the girls like who work there, like every day they'd come in and they would like take a picture of your outfit, like your Brandy outfit. Mm-hmm. And then they would text it to the founder. Mm-hmm. And one of the girls was like, well, like why where are these pictures going? And yeah. She's like, and we're not allowed to,
it's like next year
we're not allowed to tell you that.
Oh my God.
Or something. So then she like quit,
yeah,
because that was weird. And then you find out that he had like this full like mural of like all these pictures of all these like girls who work there. Again, like they're like in high school. Homeland? They're like 16 years old.
Oh my God. He had like a room like of the girls.
Like a board like of a like all board. The pictures, which is like creepy. I'm not really sure. Maybe, I guess you could be using that for some sort of like
inspo, but inspo no, you're planning, not.
But it's creepy. And they don't tell, you can tell, you have to tell the people that you're taking the pictures of where the pictures are going.
And he's not using it for planning because and then they were saying that's they not how get, they plan their
they
posts.
Started as like full body things and then they started more into like your face and your chest and like whatever. I don't know. Got like very creepy vibes. And then the last thing before I had to go to bed that I saw was basically there was like a Brandy Melville apartment for like a corporate apartment. And there was a woman who was staying there. And then she gets there. She was like international, but she's staying there because she's doing something for Brandy Melville. And then there's like this 40-year-old businessman who she doesn't know is like winds up also staying in this thing. And then he like takes her out and she wakes up the next, like basically he like rapes her. She doesn't remember. So that was like the, you know, it's escalating. So yeah. There might be stuff that's even worse than this that I haven't finished yet. Yeah. But
so to be continued.
Yeah. So I'm saying in the beginning, I was like, I feel like this is right. Like, it kind of feels it, like
it snowballs,
but like, I see that, like, I'm not surprised. And then it gets more and more like deviously feeling.
Up. Crazy. Yeah. I remember like kind of, cause again, it was one size and I was more of the larger size. So I was like, some stuff sort of fit. And some stuff didn't, but I always felt so weird about it.
Right. I mean, I always felt weird in that store anyway.
I always felt weird it was in like the store.
Yeah. It was, I guess we were also kind of old for it now that I'm learning that like middle schoolers are their target audience.
Yeah, also weird. I guess there were young people in the store, but
it was like cheap, soft clothing that like, right. You know.
I like, yeah, no, it's just...
And then they've been like sued by like Forever 21 for like copying their shit.
Well, yeah, I'm sure because they literally are.
Right. I mean, that seems like very clear that that's what they're doing. Oh, but.
I think the title of this documentary is very funny. Yeah. Brandy Melville. Do you recommend I watch it?
I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I think I will.
I mean, enjoy is a weird word to use, but yeah. I was like, I found it interesting. Again, in the beginning, I was like, I didn't think it was that interesting. Right. And it gets more... messed up. I wonder what Brandy Melville is going to do about this. Apparently, like, I didn't realize they were so big on Instagram or like TikTok. I didn't realize that was like such a big thing. I mean, they're like killing it. Apparently, right. They were revenue. Like, because I think they were saying Abercrombie and Fitch was considering buying them at one point. Uh-huh. And their sales, their revenue was like crazy. Like,
too high.
So, I guess it was like they were making a shit ton of money. Maybe they still are. You said they closed some stores.
I don't know, but maybe not. Too big to fail.
I don't know.
That's nuts.
Yeah, I'd recommend it.
Listen, we all know that scratchy PJs can make a cranky kid. I want my kids to be comfy when they sleep and are rested in the morning, and that's why I snuggle them up in Little Sleepies. Little Sleepies makes award-winning bamboo PJs that moms rave about. I am said mom. I am obsessed with Little Sleepies. They are so, so, so soft. I just got one that was the Checkmates Zippy for my son Lucas. It's so adorable and it's limited edition, so everybody go check it out. Little Sleepies Zip Romper Pajamas, aka Zippies, the ones that I got, were designed with thoughtful details like fold over feet, mittens, and a double zipper to make the middle of the night diaper changes easier. Made from the buttery soft custom milled Luna Luxe bamboo viscose, their zip footy pajamas are gentle on sensitive skin and babies with eczema. But what parents rave about the most? How long they fit. And Little Sleepies makes the best baby shower gift. They have inclusive sizing from preemie to adults 3X. There are also nursing and pregnancy-friendly styles available for adults. So try a pair of Little Sleepies today. Fair warning, you'll never go back. You can try Little Sleepies for yourself by visiting littlesleepies.com. Plus, get 15% off your order on littlesleepies.com with code BETCHES. That's littlesleepies.com with promo code BETCHES.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. What's the right amount of socializing for you? And how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you just need some more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. I've been in therapy for years, and nothing has transformed my life quite as much as my therapy experience. And one of the things that I love about therapy is that it gives me all the tools I need to figure out how to manage my time, and also figuring out what depletes me, what gives me energy. Sometimes too much socializing depletes me, so I've learned how to manage the amount of time that I'm going out versus staying in, the amount of new people I'm meeting versus making sure I have that me time for myself, and that's definitely a skill that I've honed in therapy. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/betches today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/betches.
Have you been on Instagram and have been seeing JoJo Siwa all over?
I feel like you showed me this on our car ride back from Boston last week.
Yeah, I can't stop. Do you remember?
I don't know much about her. I feel like she's one of those people that I know is famous. Like,
she's been around.
What is she like known for? Like, what is her thing?
She was like extreme rainbow pop kid music.
She's music. She's a musician.
Music. Yeah. Okay. She sings and sort of dances, but her look is what she was known for.
Okay.
And it was like extreme rainbows, like very colorful and she would wear this really high ponytail and she'd have sparkles all the time. Okay. And just like be like, but she was like little young girls really liked her. She was like a young girl icon.
Okay. Which makes sense if she's all about rainbows.
Yeah. Stuff. It was like, yeah. because she was a kid herself.
Okay.
She recently came out. So she was advocating for that. Which was great, whatever. But then now she like completely rebranded into this like bad girl. And
I'm looking at the picture that's attached to her outline.
She showed up in the iHeart Music Awards in that. And she also has a new song that came out, Karma, that's been like really trending. It's a bop. I would say it's pretty catchy. The music video is very sapphic. Like it's just like a bunch of women on a yacht and she's like dancing centrally with them.
Okay. I mean, it seems like she's getting a lot of press.
Yeah. But she's dressed sort of like this. Okay. And she just did a Call Her Daddy interview. She's wearing this hat.
She wears it there.
She's wearing a worse. She's wearing a hat. I know, I feel really bad because, again, she's really young.
How old is she?
I think she's 20.
Okay.
She's really young, in my opinion.
Young.
I think she's young because she's a child star. And so she's still young.
She's trying to figure herself out.
She seems really into herself in these interviews and all of this stuff. She's in an interview, in her press tour, she claimed to have invented gay pop.
Okay.
There's many artists who disagree with that. She is just, she wore this hat in this Call Her Daddy interview. It's like a black hat, but then just rhinestones just like her face. And they keep jiggling when she speaks. So it was just really hard to take seriously. What I'm getting from her vibe is it still feels like a kid, like how a kid would translate like a bad girl. Do you know what I mean? Like it doesn't feel like she's the bad. She just feels like, oh, I'm a kid and this is how I'm finding myself. I need to be bad now because that's who I am. But it's like,
she's like trying it on.
Yeah, that's what it feels like. She's wearing a costume a little bit.
I think this is probably a phase.
Oh, yeah. But she's like inspired by bangers. You remember how Miley came out with...
That was a big thing. But Miley's was like, seemed more authentic.
Yeah, sure. But at the same time, everybody was like up in arms about it. Remember, right. like...
I mean, she wasn't dressed like this,
Remember
Smiley.
How she danced with Robin Thicke?
Yeah.
Like, everybody was like, oh my God.
Well,
like,
she was really young when she did that,
she
too.
She was really young, and she was exploring.
He was really old, I think, and she was really young.
Yeah, that was creepy. Part, and somebody was dressed like Beetlejuice. I don't remember.
I think it was him.
But yeah. Yeah. That was weird. But that aside, like, all the music video... What was the main music video? The first
one. We Can't Stop?
We Can't Stop. Is that it? The debut song where it was like her new persona was I Think We Can't Stop. And it was that music video in that like house and there was like a weird bear.
Song. I haven't heard that song in a while.
So good.
It's a good song.
People were freaking out. People were just as like butthurt about it.
No, I remember. I don't know why. Because she was like.
Because she was like sensual. Yeah.
Disney.
Yes, exactly. It's the same thing. So I think this trend. Like,
I love Miley Cyrus.
Yeah. I think that JoJo's going to find her way.
I mean,
it's just why you have to wear that. Right. You're in an interview. Like, it's shaking. You can't even see what you're saying. It's covering your mouth.
Okay. And then speaking of Miley Cyrus, apparently, we talked about this the other day, but the whole like Noah Cyrus, you know, used to date her mom's husband weirdness. And then now she liked a gym thirst trap of Miley Cyrus's ex-husband, Liam Hemsworth. So it's getting a little messy.
You know what I think she's doing there is trying to see Miley to get like trying to get Miley to get a taste of her own medicine.
Right.
Like this is what it feels like. This is what it feels like.
I mean, I would recommend
like.
Family therapy over this
for sure,
as a solution.
For sure.
But I understand what she's
Put
doing.
Put your oversharing hat on. Right?
I understand what she's doing here, but I wouldn't say that's the best move.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you think Liam was thinking in that moment?
I think he's like, I'm glad I'm away from
his
family.
I'm not in this.
His family is fucked up.
Yeah. That's...
What is Liam Hemsworth up to? Has he been in any movies?
I think
movies?
He's a girlfriend.
Is he in movies?
I think he was, but not one that I recall.
Is Miley Cyrus dating anyone?
Yes.
Who is she dating?
She's dating this like musician.
Not that famous?
I've never heard of him, but his name is Max Morando. He just has very intense hair. I'll show you a photo.
It's a very...
Like, this is what his hair looks like. They, like, have very...
There was a picture where, like, Miley kind of...
They have the
same
Miley
hair. Looked like a... It looked like they both got, like, static or something.
Yeah, they both have, like, similar high hair, 80s style hair.
Miley's so cool. I don't know. There's something, like... There's something just very cool about her. Like, she feels like she just does whatever the fuck she wants to do.
She's very much... A definition of unapologetic, I feel like.
Yes, but like in an authentic kind of
It feels like she's way. Gotten to that point.
Right.
You know, but she had a journey to get there, just much like JoJo is on that journey.
Yes, maybe she'll become like Miley.
I think she needs to sort of find her voice and her aesthetic.
She Taylor Armstrong?
Yeah, she needs to find her aesthetic, her own aesthetic.
Yeah, I'm sure this will be a phase that she looks back on.
It's
and is
just
like,
weird to go from so rainbow to so kiss. It's just, yeah. Anyway.
It was like one day she just decided she had
like
an in-between
brand. No, it was just like a rebrand, like a full one with the coming out of this album and this song, Karma, which again is boppy.
Right.
But. And it's charting, so maybe jokes on everybody else who's
I mean,
who's
she's
getting a lot of hate, though. And I don't like that. I feel bad. She's a young girl.
Right. I mean, she's getting a lot of attention.
But she's getting a lot of money.
For sure. And, like, I have to say, I mean, I've heard of her before this, but I'm hearing a lot about this.
Yes, yes.
And a lot more than I would have been discussing her.
Because she's on a massive press tour right now. And it started with the I Heart outfit. And
yeah, I mean, this is a
it
way
keeps
to get,
going.
This is a very... in-your-face way to get attention.
I
it's
think
not
so.
It's not subtle.
It's not. It is not.
Oh, my God. They're coming out with another Bridget Jones movie.
Yes.
I love Bridget Jones.
Me, too. I rewatched it in the last, like, maybe 2 years.
Such a good movie.
It's so fucking crazy to me that she thinks she's, like, fat in that video.
Yeah. There's, like...
Just little. There's so much in that, but I love that movie. And it's also because it's, like, Pride and Prejudice, which we also
yes.
both love.
Based on that, yes.
I think that's just, but she's so funny in it. And
I love
Hugh,
Colin Firth in that movie,
yes,
weirdly.
And Hugh Grant is
they're
such
both,
a perfect asshole
yeah.
in that.
It's a perfect cast.
Perfect.
Because Colin Firth is like endearing in his like, in that way, but so is Hugh Grant.
I just don't know how this movie's going to do with them all much older.
Right.
So.
I mean, they made three of them already. There's one with Bridget Jones' baby.
I know. I don't think I saw that.
It might be terrible, but the original is like, I don't know.
So good.
Such a classic.
Such
Even
a
the
classic.
Second one was really good.
What happened in the second one?
She like is with, she's with Colin Firth, and then she like has the, that's where she has the skiing.
Yes.
Accident. Well, no, she thinks she's pregnant. And then he's like not, he's not that into, and then they fight over like if the kid's going to go to boarding school, and then they break up, and then she goes to Thailand and she gets
arrested.
She gets arrested for the pot, and then she's like with all the gins. It's so funny. There's one scene in that where she's in the Thai jail. And she's like talking to the Thai woman, and she's like, they're talking about like their bad boyfriends, and she's like, and one of the Thai girls is like, did your boyfriend like beat you up too and force you to have sex with men for money? She's like, no, but like he didn't invite me to this very important barrister's ball. And you know,
yeah, she just plays such a good Bridget Jones. Like, yeah, she is Bridget Jones in her like physical comedy, role, sure. Her physical comedy, her voice, just all of it. It just was so good. It was good classic.
Larry David is our betch of the week.
Yes.
He's had a good 25-year run or however long it's been. I think it was the year 2000 that he started that show, and we will miss it. And I think we are sending Stefan, I forget his last name, but he is the owner, the founder of Brandy Melville. Ah,
good one.
I don't know his last name.
Melville.
He's Italian. So like I'm getting
Melvilleo.
Yes. Let's send him to the Caymans, because this it sounds like he was running a very messed up organization.
And still is.
And still is. And it's weird that it was like founded in 2009. It's like pretty recent store. And I recommend you watch, because
yeah, I'm gonna watch
it. It's a ride.
It's a ride. I'm going to watch it. Well, that is it for this week's At Betches podcast. You can follow me at Aileen.
And me at Jordana Abraham. Be sure to rate, review, and subscribe. And we'll see you next week on the Betches podcast. At Betches is produced by Sean Kilby and Holly Wilkinson. Editing by Jazz Zapatos and Shannon Sassone. Be sure to follow At Betches on Instagram and send us your emails to podcast@betches.com.
Betches.